Perfect. Hi, hello again, everybody. Welcome to episode 14 of Race and Refresh Happy Hour, titled If I Had a Million Dollars. And I don't do this alone, as you may know. And because he's back, look, I've got to introduce a certain Canadian who spent the last several weeks, from what I understand, Rocky Mountain way, but he decided he couldn't get much higher. So he is back to help run this whole thing. Of course, I'm talking about the show creator, one Adam Carabine, who I know will enjoy the fine Joe Walsh reference I just did. Come on in here, Adam. Let's chat about it. It's just good to have you home.
Love me some Joe Walsh. Thanks, Logan. Yeah, it's good to be back. Don't get too comfortable. I unfortunately have to sneak out halfway through the show today, but that's not next week I'm back with a vengeance. I will be back to ruin everyone's lives and basically do some terrible motorsports takes or something like that. I don't know. Drum up viewers? I don't know.
That's all right. Most of your takes are pretty daggum horrible, but I love you anyway because you're so charming about it.
Oh, isn't that sweet of you?
I was telling my boss yesterday that I disagree with a whole lot of your takes, but he's the kindest man I've ever known, so I love you anyway. Speaking of men I love, a man who is newly engaged, planning his wedding as we speak, feeling much better this week. No longer is he the maestro of the migraine. I'm talking about the best man, Colin Best. Come on in here while I pull up my script because I might have X'd out. So, Colin, come in here and save me.
Hi, guys. I'm Colin Best, the senior open wheel rider, but it is my Daytona 500 times two this week. It's Monaco Indy 500. I'm so excited. Hopefully there'll be better races than what we saw at North Wilkesboro, but you know, I digress. We'll get into it. We have a full hour to talk about it. Adam up here, this beautiful man, beautiful soul. He's back. I'm really afraid of what Logan says nice things about him. I'm just afraid what he would say about me.
Look, you both are such kind souls, kind individuals. And I'll tell you what, there is one person on this show that may be kinder than both of you. And she's certainly louder and more opinionated. Let's bring her in. Producer Peggy, come on in here, my better half. Those brows are on point today. Looky there.
I'll have you know I'm very opinionated. I signed some petitions today. I won't mention what they were for, but I did sign them.
That Chase Race a Lot makes it a weekly appearance on the Racing Refresh Show.
And I'm very opinionated on the fact that our mascot, and this might be new for you, Adam. Should and will be Chase Race a Lot.
God bless it. I'm so sick of that garbage.
I might not have been here
for the shows, but I did tune in. So I saw whatever that was, whatever
that
you want to call
Chase
that.
Race a Lot.
Yeah, I know, but you confused them because it had a number 24 on it, I think.
Because Chase Race a Lot was the... He was the number 24 when he was in cars.
Technically, it should be William Burnout.
Not only that, Peggy, there are two Chases in the Cup series right now, Chase Briscoe and Chase Elliott. So I was also confused, but I managed to suss it out while I was
Who's
going.
Who's the most popular driver?
Well, it'd be Chase Race-A-Lot is the most popular, but his real name was William Clyde Elliott.
Why go and click Clyde?
Is Chase Briscoe.
Look, I'm so glad that Adam is back for this, and you don't need to be ashamed of the petitions you signed today, Peggy. Let's tell the world what you signed today. We want those snack wraps back from McDonald's, damn it. And so guess what? It's time to bring it on back. And so we were there.
And you know what? The Wendy's wrap, the new one, tastes horrible. Don't get it. Don't waste your money. It's trash.
This segment brought to you by McDonald's.
Oh my goodness, Wendy's will never sponsor us now.
Yeah, not anymore.
Unless we had $1 million. You see what I did there? All right, we got to get going. So with that, that new Wendy's snack wrap is booty cheeks, not going to lie to you. It does not hit the spot. I'm disappointed. That Dave's orange cream soda. All right. Okay. Anywho, let's do it. Peggy, hit me with that graphic because it's time for our weekend review. Oh yeah, she clicked quicker for old Chase Race-A-Lot. You notice that? Yeah. On the ball for that. Not that she was bad there, but I just noticed that the index here was much more at optimum peak position. So
there you go.
There he is.
Adam, are you glad to be back, brother?
I'm so glad to be back. I missed you guys.
We're so happy you're back. All right. Did you know that NASCAR went back to North Wilkesboro this weekend, fellas? They did. They did. And they had, not only did they have a great cure for insomnia known as the All-Star Race, they had a truck race that didn't do oogong on bad. Kyle Larson slept the weekend, and he got it started in the truck series. Let's talk about that truck series race, but first let's ask a question. Is it fair to kind of get the warm-up, for lack of a better term, in the trucks for the All-Star Race or any other track for that matter? Colin, out of my dear love for you, I'm going to start with Adam. Adam, what say you? Is it fair that these drivers get kind of that warm-up? Because there's been much hubbub, much scuttlebutt, if you will, about is it fair, is it right for these guys to come on down and dominate the Truck Series or sometimes the Xfinity Series? Kyle Busch is the most famous example, of course. What say you?
Yeah, you tend to see it more on like road courses that we don't visit as often, or sometimes the new tracks that are newer to the schedule. You get some more cup regulars coming in there and going down to Xfinity or Trucks. Now, to Kyle Larson's credit, he was actually filling in for the injured Alex Bowman. It was actually Bowman who was supposed to be in that truck this weekend. But so it wasn't necessarily something he planned out to try and get the jump on the All-Star race. But I don't know. I feel like when there's $1 million on the line and, you know, a special event like the All-Star race, I feel like, I don't know, NASCAR wouldn't be crazy to say no cup regulars in the lower series to get, you know, that extra warm up. I know their argument will be that driving the truck is a million times different than driving the cup car, especially the next gen right now. But I don't know, with how worn out that surface is and where, you know, finding all these little places where you can get grip here and there, I think some of that experience definitely paid off for Kyle Larson this week. Although, yeah, he won the Truck Series race too. So I don't know, he was just destined to win this weekend. I don't know. What do you say, Colin?
See, it doesn't matter what event that we've ever had. If we're calling it wrong that Kyle Larson did it, then it should be wrong in the entire 75 years of NASCAR history, where a guy has gained experience in the lower series and took it on to the bigger series like the Cup Series or the Xfinity Series. I have no problems with it. What we saw in that crowd, it was mostly Kyle Larson fans that were in the Truck Series crowd by a long shot from every live shot that we've seen on Saturday during that race. So if Kyle Larson helped sell tickets to that Truck Series race, which, by the way, this proves my point that the Truck Series should only be on short tracks, because look at that crowd. They surely enjoyed that race. To me, no problem with it. It's going to continue to happen. Would it be better if Larson's only experience was in the cup race or in the heat races and practice for that series? Absolutely. But I mean, if we're going to call a spade, then if Larson should never have been in it. Then Bubba Wallace should have never been in it. Then William Byron should have never been in it as well, even though they didn't dominate like Larson did. But Bubba probably used his experience in the trucks to finish P2 at the All-Star race this past Sunday. So I have no problems with it.
Yeah, I think you both make some good points. I got to tell you, I used to be an adamant, a vehement denier of Cup drivers coming on down to the lower series. As I've gotten a little older and a little wiser, I have evolved my position on that. I say it this way now. Do I personally like it? No. But it helps the lower series. It helps the ratings. It helps the experience. Does it create the most entertaining race from time to time? No. Obviously, you know, we're not all that far removed from Kyle Busch coming down and saying, hey, look at me lap the field in a truck race. I'm being a little bit facetious when I say that, but pretty doggone close some races. So I have evolved some on this position. Do I enjoy personally watching it? The answer is no. But to say that we can't do it, I mean, that's just silly because you're right. It did happen for so many years and no one batted an eye. I mean, people kind of forget how great like Mark Martin's Xfinity numbers are. You know, it's there are several examples of great Xfinity drivers. Matter of fact, we saw great examples of those throughout NASCAR's 75 greatest that we just got through celebrating at Darlington. So, yeah, I've evolved on this. I don't like it and I can respect it, but anyone that says it shouldn't happen, you don't have a good reason besides you the fact you don't find it entertaining, and that's not enough good reason to do it, if that makes sense. That's not enough good reason to pull the plug, because it's not all about you, keyboard warrior. And believe me, I'm not calling you out, because I was one for a long time going, damn it, they ought not be able to come down. But when you really think about it, what am I griping about? Oh, I just don't like the product it creates. Well, wham, flip a channel. So, yeah, that's the way I will view that. So, very fair. See, Adam, I can evolve on occasion. Think about it.
On occasion, all right. I'll give you that.
All right. Kyle Larson won the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro, and boy, did I think this race had a lot of sizzle but very little steak, boys and girls. I'm going to kick this off because I feel adamant about this. This race sucked. Didn't like it. Wasn't fun. It was brutal. It stunk. I could have slept for weeks. This was all the hype and all the pomp and all the circumstance, and we laid an egg, folks. And look, I know, the biggest Richard Petty fan sitting in this chair, I get it. But this ain't 1972 anymore. I don't want to see someone win by 13 seconds. Even my dog doesn't, damn it. It's just brutal. It was great for novelty purposes. The race was awful to watch. It was a catastrophic failure, in my view. The short track package is not okay. We don't need to do this until the short track package improves. We need to repave that track because it's bowling shoe ugly right now. And if you've seen a pair of bowling shoes up there in Canada, Adam, you know they're ugly. Colin, I'll come to you because I've said what I said. I think it was the pomp and circumstance and novelty was special, and we should appreciate that moment. But when it came down to crunch time, the presentation was good. But if we're Gordon Ramsay, the chicken was raw. The chicken was raw. What do you think, Colin?
See, after 72 hours to another Gordon Ramsay thing, marinate and think on the All-Star race, it was akin to the 2019, 18, sometime around there, the Coca-Cola 600, which, if we remember correctly, Adam certainly does, is when Martin Truex Jr. led 392-ish laps of the 400 to... Yeah, so it was
beautiful. Beautiful.
Dominant ass-kicking by Kyle Larson. He even said it himself. I love the Scott Blomquist tweet that he put out a little bit after that race. But I do agree, a short track event should be bumping and banging, and we never even saw that. I think we only had one caution the entire race, and then Larson just drove up through the field in the first 50-ish laps and then held on. I was certainly more entertained in the heat races, especially heat number two with Ty Gibbs and Michael McDowell getting into it. But to me, the All-Star Open, not the heats. But to me, it was very nice to see North Wilkesboro back on the circuit. Us here in this podcast right now, we have not seen North Wilkesboro have racing on it in our lifetimes. And it was kind of nice to have the history of the sport to be relived. But if we're going to make this better, more horsepower, less tire. I mean, that's the only thing I could think to fix it, or else, you know, stages. That's why stage racing has existed, right? To make races like this not happen ever again. North Wilkesboro has never put on exciting-ish races. I looked in the past 10 years, going back to 1996, there's only been one race where a margin of victory has been under 1 second. And everything else has been dominating races by like Jeff Gordon and all those people like that. So it's never, North Wilkesboro has never been a track that's been exciting to watch a race at, but it was certainly nice to go back to more short tracks, which is, I think everyone would love to see more. It opens up the door for Rockingham to come back to the schedule. And people are talking about that. But to me, I can't believe I wasted 2 hours of my life watching this race after what we saw in the Truck Series. So this was a huge stinker by NASCAR.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. Again, the novelty was cool. I think you hit all the good points there, nail on the head. But big swing and miss when it came to the product. And until the short track program improves, because we've seen short tracks take a beating with this new car. Well, we have to have some short tracks. That's NASCAR, right? But we got to stop this experiment, this particular experiment, until we fix the short track program. I want to see more racing or Wilkesboro, but if it's under these current circumstances, I'll pass. I will politely tell you to head on that way. Nope, we're making no eye contact like me with a homeless guy. It ain't happening. So, Adam, talk to me, Mr. Carabine. What did you think about the All-Star race? I don't know how much you saw. I know you've been busy again on that Rocky Mountain way, if you will. Life's been good to you so far, though. That's fine. So what'd you think? Did you get a chance to watch any of it?
Yeah, I was in the city. Wink, wink.
I just had dinner with Ryan. Good to see you again, brother. Hope you found your credit card. He was losing that sucker at the table. He said the race was such a snooze fest. I love short track racing, but they need to fix this package of short track racing, or short track racing is going to suck for a while. Adam, unpack that for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you think about all the hype that this race was getting because it was the return of North Wilkesboro, Marcus Smith, who is the CEO of SMI, owns the track, has already come out and said, well, the future of continuing racing here is still up in the air, which I think is, you know, I think any endorsement, or I guess lack of endorsement, if you will, that is, that tells the story right there. I think a mixture of the track being kind of a one groove track, with barely any grip. So there was very little opportunity for passing, mixed with, you know, just the short track package has been, you know, has left a little to be desired, to say the least, this year. I don't know. I don't know if you can fix that right away, or like what sort of quick fix you can do that. But there's still some short tracks left on this year's schedule. Are we going to just be doomed to have some snoozers for the rest of the year, or is there something they can do in the meantime? I mean, obviously there needs to be a full overhaul before next year, but I don't know. Yeah, something needs to change.
I got to agree with you. Look, the reality is this, it was a snoozer, and on nights there's short tracks, you're going to be thinking to yourself, there's going to be a heartache tonight. I know, because there's just not quite the quality of racing that there ought to be under this new car thus far. Now I want to ask you both a question and we're going to move on. I want it flatly. You can answer it however you want. Take as long as you'd like. I'll start with you, Mr. Senior Open Big Wheel Guru, Colin Best. Should we bring back North Wilkesboro next season on the schedule, whether that's the All-Star Race, Points Race, Clash, whatever? Should North Wilkesboro be on the schedule in 2023?
Yes, but the schedule is going to be 36 races long, so who loses that date? That's going to be the thing. Is SMI willing to lose a date at one of its own tracks, because it has properties all over the Southeast? Like, they just renovated Atlanta. They're not going to get rid of Atlanta for two events because they put on a great show. Texas isn't going to let that happen. Charlotte's still going to get two events. Dover's already down to one. Pocono's down to one. Where do you take that event from? I mean, you can take Kansas away for one race. I mean, do we think that Kansas deserves two races? After what
Kansas
we saw,
produced some good. I was going to say Kansas here lately has been bringing the Dorothy and Toto. If you catch my drift,
yeah. But that's the thing though. If this car right now is only good on mile and a half,
I would send Texas packing so fast it's ridiculous. It don't draw good. It's a snoozer. We're already back there with we're already in the kind of the area with Coda. Because they didn't even draw good at the one race they had last year, or both races. Pardon me. We'll see.
It would be poetic if Texas was taken off the schedule for North Wilkesboro, considering in 1996 they were taken off. North Wilkesboro was taken off the schedule for Texas, and it would be poetic justice for North Wilkesboro Speedway to be back there. And like Ryan said, Fontana was turning into a short track. We think that's going to happen. So we'd already have
maybe coulda, shoulda, woulda, found.
We already have like Martinsville, Richmond, Bristol, North Wilkesboro, Fontana. That's five short track races we go to a year. That's eight events. That's eight short track races on the schedule. I think that's perfect mix. I mean, there are short tracks that I wish we'd go to now, like the Milwaukee Mile. I mean, that Midwest is certainly underappreciated with NASCAR. I mean, you only get the Chicago race and that's it. Or we can go to Iowa, which is another race in the Midwest that we can go to. That's a great short track, and IndyCar sells that out every single year. You'd think the Cup Series could do the same thing.
Hear me out on this. Why don't we take the dirt experiment that is Bristol Dirt, and we're going to get dirt at Wilkesboro anyway. Why not do dirt there?
I think bringing back North Wilkesboro is fine, but turning it into a track it was never going to be. I mean, it hasn't been a dirt track since the 40s.
Yeah, since about 1947, I believe it got paved.
Yeah, but
you can find that out on racingrefresh.com, social media page. Thanks for our reels.
The thing about transitioning it to dirt is I'd rather it be at a real dirt track and not take away from a paved asphalt track. The NASCAR broke Tony Stewart's heart when they want to go back to Eldora, and then the SRX thing happened. I still think there's bad blood between NASCAR and Tony Stewart, so they'll never go to Eldora. Knoxville sucks. I mean, outside of those two places, there's really no dirt track in America that can host the Cup Series on a yearly basis that's big enough. So putting dirt on North Wilkesboro would be almost sacrilege. It'd be putting it on Bristol. But
there was – here's why I bring that up, Colin. There was talk that they were going to do a few more races on this worn-out surface, and then they were going to tear that sucker up. And so that's why I wonder if they're already going to anyway, why don't we make some chicken salad out of that shiitake and you know, give it a shot? Because I frankly want to go back to two regular concrete races at Bristol. Colin, let's hit those pause bars for just a moment, and let's get Adam Carabine, old Canadian Carabine. He's always got such a calm, serene way of putting things. Mr. Carabine, what say you on the North Wilkesboro in 2023? Should we not? Yes, no, maybe so.
I think give NASCAR a chance to tweak the short track package and give them one more go at it. Certainly some of the other tracks that have put on poor showings have gotten more than just one chance. So I say give him another year. But if it's another snoozer like this one, then I think, yeah, you got to move on or change something else. So, and there are plenty of other good tracks waiting. You could almost call them the pretty maids all in a row. Just,
I'll tell you,
I've been sitting on that for a long time trying to figure out how to worm that in there. So there you go.
That is fantastic, sir. So let me ask you this, Adam, and then I'm going to bring this to you, Colin. Should it be the all-star race next year? Or are we talking points race? Are we talking clash? What are we talking? Should it be the all-star next year? Should it be regular? If you want to bring it back, because you've just said that you did, I think you should check your water system, but that's fine. What all-star points race, what?
Oh, are you asking me first here? Colin's being very quiet. Yeah, okay, yeah, sorry, yeah. My mistake. I kind of like
the idea. 49 or 50 here.
I know. I like the idea of like a rotating all-star race, which is partially why I would not want it to be at North Wilkesboro, but with the chance that it could be such a boring race, I don't know if I want it being worth points. So I know that's not an answer. That's a I don't know answer.
Colin, he acted like he was on the stand. Give me a genuine answer. All-star race, points race, no race, what?
I don't think it should be a clash because it's going to be too cold in North Carolina in February. And we know with cold races, the next gen car doesn't do well. If it's going to be the clash, if it's going to be the all-star race, you need to make changes to the events. If you don't make short track packages, make it stage races and limit the tires. That's what you have to do. But if it's going to be, if it's not going to be an all-star race next year, it deserves a place on the NASCAR Cup Series schedule as a short track. I do believe that. The amount of work they put into it, I think it deserves it.
Ryan said, bring it back for Truck and Xfinity only next year. So let's keep that in mind, maybe. All right, we got to keep it moving and grooving. So the NHRA had themselves a weekend. Adam, you're back to run through this whole thing. So you do your thing, brother.
Yeah, here we go. I'll give you a brief rundown here. I got to leave soon, so I got to make sure we get our picks in. But I will let you know that at NHRA, they were at Route 66 Raceway in Elmwood, Illinois. Yeah. It's a good name for a raceway, Route 66 Raceway. I like that. In the Pro Stock Motorcycles, we had Gage Herrera winning. We had Dallas Glenn taking the Pro Stock. Tim Wilkerson in the Funny Car, and then Clay Milliken in Top Fuel. So unfortunately, no John Force Racing winners this week. But you know what? I think they're going to bring the heat next time. So I'm looking forward to it.
And speaking of bringing the heat, because you have an on schedule this week, because
I know, I'm sorry, ruining everything.
I don't know.
I just didn't want to miss you for a whole other week.
I hear you. The smoker you drink, the player you get. I get. It's fine. So with that, we're going to speed it up, and we're going to do something odd. We're going to do racing refresh picks at the halfway point right here and right now. Peggy, cue that graphic up for me one good time. Thank you. It looks good. We are in the eye of the storm, if you will. Kind of fitting. Yeah. There's rain in that Charlotte forecast, huh?
Well, I saw what happened when I was away and you guys tried to do racing refresh picks without me. It was a little bit disastrous.
Wow.
So I think it's time for me to tighten things up here again.
I felt like that would be a private moment between the team.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
We can just edit that out in post, right?
If you want to look, there's that live thing. That's we're live now. Yeah. Okay.
So these are actually, we're recapping our picks from 2 weeks ago because we didn't make picks for the All-Star race. We only do it for the points races. So 2 weeks ago for Darlington, our boy Colin Best, he picked William Byron, and who should win the race but Willie B himself. So congrats to Colin. That leaves me as the lone guy in the back, 2 points. It's pretty embarrassing. So we are making picks for the Coke 600, and Peyton is our first pick. Producer Peggy, let's bring her in.
Come on in here and come on down.
All right, who are you taking, Peyton? That rhymed.
Boy, she's prepared, I'll tell you. That's what I like most about her.
You guys don't care. I was going to tell you what I was doing. You guys don't care.
I'd hope you're producing the show.
Yeah.
I bought something online and my cart got charged twice, so I was trying to figure that out. Anyway,
bro, you got to be playing.
Who would you like to pick for the
call now? We got to go.
I'm going to take...
Adam's going to have to shave.
I'll take Ryan Blaney.
Holy Moses. All right.
All right. The love of her life. Next up is me.
Still sitting right here. Thanks.
Yeah. I know that's twice now. I'm sorry. Next up is me. I'm going to ride the hot hand here. I'm taking Kyle Larson. And we got Logan picking next. What do you got for us, Logan?
Do you know who I've taken so far?
I do, yeah.
Have I taken Kyle Busch?
You have not yet.
We'll take him.
All right. And Colin. Winner. Gets to pick last.
Yeah, see, I wanted to pick Kyle Larson, but I don't think I picked him so far this year. And this is one of the struggles of being last. So I'm going to go with the safe pick, someone who is returning. We'll touch on this a little later, but I'm going to take Alex Bowman takes the win in his first race back.
All right. Oh, you know what, Colin? I'm sorry. You have already picked Alex Bowman.
When?
At Richmond.
Oh, damn it. have we taken Martin Truex Jr.?
You have not.
Okay.
We're hoping for that repeat of that domination.
You know what? He tumbled in the 600 late last year. He's going to go from tumbles to triumph. I'm taking Christopher Buescher.
Wow. All right.
From tumbles to triumph. That's my life story, given my balance issues. It's going to be the title of my book.
With that, I must remove myself here. I got to run, but happy rest of the show.
I have an update for you, Adam. They reversed it.
Hey, look at that.
Glad to hear that. Okay, I wasn't going to be able to get on with the rest of my night without knowing, so thank you. And thanks for watching, everyone. I will catch you all next week.
I'll see you next week, you beautiful man, you.
Bye, Dad.
I love you, Papa.
Papa. He always goes, hey, kids, I have the script. And we're like, thanks, Dad.
Thank you. All right, so that is our Race and Refresh picks. And so now, Peggy, it's time for our happy hour headlines.
And then there were two.
Hello, we're throwing it back. We are throwing it back. Some would say, some would say that we're a couple of pit bulls. But anywho, so happy hour headlines. It's unfortunate that I have to talk about this one. Bubba Wallace's radio was hijacked shortly after the All-Star race was come to a close. And some derogatory things were said to him. And I can't put into words how frustrating what I believe is a vocal minority and their ignorance pisses me off. I can't put into words. And I'm hoping, ladies and gentlemen, I'm hoping that your differences with this man relate to his political beliefs. Because if it's the other option, that's especially bad. And there is, and if it's his political opinions, let's agree to disagree. If it's anything worse than that, as I fear it could be, there's nothing more reprehensible than I can think of in this life. All right, maybe a few things, but it's top five. Colin, this was all complicated because Bubba Wallace gave the finger to somebody or something on the air. Not a cool thing by any stretch. We've all done it. I've been a goofball and given the finger when I shouldn't have. I'm sure you have as well. So I'm not defending that because people go, well, why is that okay? No one said it's all right. But you act like you don't give the finger every day in traffic. Colin, any thoughts on this whole mess? His radio was hijacked, which it's a shame we can still do that so easily. And then heinous things were said. Now, were they the worst things in the world? No, but I believe it was go back to where you came from, which is an ignorant statement. Because in case you don't know it, sir or madam, Bubba Wallace is an American citizen born in Alabama. He's from right here. The great 50 right here. So try again. And then one of them said that nobody wants you or likes you here in NASCAR. That's not verbatim, but that's good paraphrasing. Look, folks, if you don't like somebody, whether that's because of political opinion or that ain't your driver, that's fine. But outright harassment and hatred, I mean, read a children's book, for God's sake. Colin, you got any thoughts on this whole thing?
Yeah, you unfortunately, in today's world, you don't tell white people to go back where they came from. So those comments were racially charged and racially motivated, I do believe. And this wasn't an isolated incident, just Bubba Wallace. Even though he was booed relentlessly during the truck race on Saturday, Rajah Caruth was booed mercilessly too. I've seen every truck race this year. I have no idea why. Maybe he got into it, Ty Majeski, but he admitted it was his fault. He's a rookie. Yeah. I think in your first year, if you wreck someone, I feel like you're given a pass unless it was intentional and it was just hard racing. That's fine. And you know, this, I think I was thinking about this reading the script today. Kyle Larson, I guarantee you there's cheers in the stands, but I guarantee you there's cheers for him because he said a particular word, which we will not repeat here on the Racing Refresh Happy Hour show. And in some people's minds, he got away with it. He didn't, you know, get canceled. He didn't get out of the sport. You can't, from what I heard at North Wilkesboro, you can't tell me that there are some people in the stands who genuinely believe that as fact. In my opinion, I thought it was disgusting. I thought we got over this. Bubba Wallace is, and he hears this every single week. This isn't a thing where it's just an isolated incident. This is every single week, especially ever really since Talladega 2020. This has been a thing. And I don't know how many times I got to tell people this. He never saw the damn noose. He never even saw it. If you remember COVID policies back in 2020, two drivers can only go two places, the RV, pit road. That's it. They couldn't go in the garage. They couldn't even step foot in the garage. I don't know why people forget this, especially with NASCAR being such an open sport and the journalists who cover it are very, very, very good. But it's very disgusting to see the type of behavior we saw in North Wilkesboro. And it's going to continue. People will use any chance they get to go after him. And it's kind of disgusting. And, you know, Bubba Wallace brought in a whole brand new group of fans in 2020. He's a sports Emmy winner. I don't know if you caught that. His documentary race, Bubba Wallace, Netflix, won a sports Emmy. So congratulations to him. He did finish second in the All-Star race. He ran top five in the Truck Series race. At North Wilkesboro, that's not an easy thing to do. The track that he was at, he was the best of the rest in the Truck Series and the Cup Series race. So the man obviously deserves to be here, and it's very disgusting to see the vitriol online towards him.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, I make no bones about the fact that, you know, from a fan standpoint, I'm not the biggest Bubba fan these days because I've got some bitter feelings being a petty guy. But if you the outright hatred and vitriol, it is 2023. Again, if it's his political opinions, agree to disagree and move the hell on. If it's worse than that, and I'm fearing that it is, given that Carruth was booed so vehemently for whatever reason, it is, I mean, how are we not past this? Who cares what somebody looks like? And when it comes to race day, who cares what they believe politically? We're supposed to – NASCAR and sports as a whole brings us together, folks. That's what should matter. That's all that matters. It's all about content and character. And has Bubba Wallace done some things wrong? And absolutely he has, and I think he'd be the first to tell you that. But, I mean, holy crap. The thing people say about – they hold him to such an unfair standard because if it was their driver being harassed – if it was their driver being harassed or their team or whatever they're a fan of, they would be all over the Facebook comments, lighten up, whatever it may be. So it's just so frustrating because, look, if you don't like Bubba Wallace, that's fine. That's your prerogative. This sport is made on faces and heels, heroes and villains, as my dog has a sneezing fit. But to dislike a guy because either you disagree with him politically or worse, the color of his skin, there is no defending that. That is not okay. And here's the worst part. The people I'm talking to, they know in their heart it's not okay. They just don't care. Most people, maybe there's a few out there that don't understand this. Most people, unfortunately, at this point, know that that's not all right, and I just don't give a damn. And I don't have time for that. I don't have the time or the energy, and all I can do is pray for you and heaven help you because we need to be better as a society, period. Anywho, so that's enough of that. But yeah, I hope that this sort of thing stops, but I fear that it won't. But we're going to keep hoping because I'm an optimist. Mm-hmm. And to be a petty fan, you got to be. So I'm an optimist. And so I believe that someday we're going to move past this and that if you're going to dislike Bubba Wallace, it's going to be something he did or did not do on the track and not politics or worse, skin color. And the people that say, and this is my final word on this, the people that say, well, they won't do anything in the bubble because of he'll pull the race card. He was suspended a whole race last season. Sit down. All right, I'm going to move on. Speaking of a guy that's not sitting down anymore, Alex Bowman is returning for the Coke 600. We mentioned Mr. H talk about the fact, and Darren Jones, thank you for commenting, by the way. We appreciate you. He mentioned that he was hoping that, Alex Bowman would be back in the car, depending on how the test went and how he handles the pain. That is the case. He is back. I don't know about you, Colin, but I want to keep the expectations pretty low for Bowman. We've seen Chase not get off to the biggest start in the world since he's been back. What are your expectations early on for Bowman, if any?
So I chose him to win the race, but my realistic expectations for him is just to survive 600 miles. If he can finish the race and run competitively, like we know he can, I think a top 10 day for him would be perfect. It'd be just like a win going into to a very long summer stretch. I think he's going to be eligible for the playoffs if he does get a win and he stays inside the top 30 in points, which he should. But I'm very happy that Alex Bowman is back to full strength. The power play is somewhat over for his injury time. But, you know, I think the bigger story with Alex Bowman returning is props to Josh Berry for being the super sub of the year. We haven't seen a sub like him. He's come in, done what was expected of him, and won the All-Star Open, which, again, that was really tough competition that I opened with Ty Gibbs and Eric Almirola coming on late. So for him to show up, win a Cup Series event, regardless of it being an exhibition race, regardless of it being the All-Star race, he did win a NASCAR Cup Series event. So going on for Josh Berry, and hopefully that leads to him hopefully joining the Cup Series sometime soon. I really think he deserves that ride.
Look, I got to agree with you. You know, heavy rumors is that he could be taking over the Ford. Nothing official there, but obviously they creeped out when he's signing with Harvick's agency. So we'll see what happens there. Josh Berry's kind of like NASCAR's version of a utility man, right? In baseball, you have the utility guy. And right now he's Mr. Super Sub, plug and play. Good for him, and hopefully he's got that opportunity coming soon. And now he'll focus for now, I'm sure, on trying to win a championship at Junior Motorsports. All right, let's talk more. NASCAR's changing the car chassis after the incident between Kyle Larson and Ryan Preece at Talladega. Colin, have you seen this? If so, what are your thoughts?
I think this is a good move. This is NASCAR being proactive instead of, well, actually they're being reactive. But, you know, proactive on the part where hopefully this won't happen again. This is an issue where you saw Kyle Larson's car, you saw the interior chassis of the car actually being bent up and in into the driver compartment. It was a scary wreck for Larson and Ryan Preece. I saw the in-car of Ryan Preece a couple days ago. I'd never seen it, but I finally did. Wow, that man took an absolute brutal hit. But I think it's good. NASCAR's making this next-gen car safer. I don't think safety has been a big issue with this car, especially rear impacts. So we haven't really seen that come to fruition so far this year. But I will say there's still some safety issues about this car going into the summer months. We're going to Talladega again, Daytona again, and Atlanta again. We're also going to a fast track like Michigan and Charlotte. You know, speeds can get up to 180, 190. So, you know, this next-gen safety will be yet to be seen, but the only time this will be tested is in the most dire of circumstances. So if NASCAR makes the car safer, it's okay in my book.
I completely agree. Safety is the name of the game. I think they've made great improvements on the car safety compared to what it was just last year. That does not mean I don't think it can't be improved or shouldn't be improved, folks, but I think that overall this year the car is doing its job. As compared to last year, it was a significant step back. So with that, we'll keep moving along. Adam put this in there just for me. The Kyle Petty Charity Ride Across America raised $1.7 million in late April, early May. Of course, Kyle Petty does that with his entire family every year. Does great, great things for Victory Junction and just wonderful, wonderful things for their camp. Of course, that is always kind of the lasting legacy of the late, great Adam Petty. It's not that it was a budding career cut short. It's the great things that, thanks to, unfortunately, his tragic passing happened at Victory Junction. They do wonderful things for those kids in that camp. So all the best always to Kyle and all the Petties for putting that on. All right. So you know what, Mr. Best? We're getting about 15 minutes or so to go, and there's some big races to talk about. And we're going to need a little bit more than usual, given how big this. I mean, it's the greatest day in motorsports coming up this Sunday, by golly gee. And so with that, a little bit early, but I think it's just the right time. Let's hit our weekend preview. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We thought of it long before they thought about bringing back Super Smash Brothers. I don't care what they say. So it is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, weekend in motorsports of the year. I mean, we need Michael Buffer to come on here and really sell you on how big this is. So let's start with what is the more dessert of the evening, and that is NASCAR is at Charlotte. Of course, that's the home base, Charlotte Motor Speedway. Trucks, Xfinity, Cup, ARCA, it's everybody's in action. You got any quick truck and Xfinity takes for me before we talk Coke 600?
So I'm going to choose winners. I'm still going to ride the train. I think we'll see that two of Nick Sanchez and Victor Lane for the Truck Series, and I think John Hunter Nemechek will win the Xfinity Series race. But going into the Coke 600, it's NASCAR's longest race, the biggest test of man and machine for 600 miles. This race last year was probably the best race of the 2022 season by far. No one can tell me different. And I feel like it was longer than 600 miles, as I think we had three or four overtime attempts to finish this race. It was a very long night in Charlotte. Always excited for Coke 600 weekend. You know, it's the pageantry, the history, the everything that goes into it. It's the final race of the day here, and that means anything in the world. So for me, this is always one of those really good events, especially for me, because on iRacing, the Coke 600, you can run the full thing. I'm doing that later, I think on Thursday, so that should be fun for me. But this is going to be probably the best race of the year by far, and Alex Bowman's going to shock the world. He's going to win the Coke 600.
Yes, this is one of the biggies, one of the crown jewels, one of the reasons you are a NASCAR fan, and I say you royally. We all love the Coke 600. We all have many memories of it. One of my favorite quotes is from Bubba Wallace, ironically enough, because I heard him one year on the 43 scanner go, "Every year I think this race is about over, and every year you tell me there's another hour." And so that's how long this race is. That's one of my favorite Bubba Wallace quotes during his time in the 43, as I listen to the scanner every weekend. So, but with that, I'll talk a little trucks. Look, I think Matt Crafton might be the guy to get it done. Xfinity-wise, you know, it's hard to bet against John Hunter Nemechek, really. And then Cup, I've already talked about. I think Kyle Busch is going to have a pretty solid run. You know, he's been solid all year. Bit of a lull lately compared to the hot start, but I think this is the kind of track to get him going. But it wouldn't surprise me to see a Gibbs car get involved. We know Denny Hamlin won here last year. Martin Truex, of course, was at one point the mile-and-a-half king. So the Coke 600, but look, we don't mean to shortchange NASCAR by any stretch, but the creme de la creme of the weekend, no doubt about it, is the Indianapolis 500. And Colin, I have mere feet of clay. Let's take it over to you. Give us the preview. For us Ohio guys, it looked a little scary there for Graham Rahal for a little bit. Give us the preview. Break it all down for us. It's Indy 500 weekend, my friend. Talk to me.
Yeah, so there's a lot to pretty much break down over the next 12 minutes, but let's hope we can get into it. Sunday was pole day. Actually, no, qualifying, last chance, and the fast six qualifying day. So Graham Rahal at the last second was bumped out of the Indianapolis 500 by his teammate at Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing and Jack Harvey. You saw the disappointment on his face. It was probably one of the most emotional scenes at Indianapolis in a very long time as a series regular. Like Graham Rahal, kind of the emotional favorite every single time for the Indy 500 so far this year, he got bumped out. And then we saw on Monday, Catherine Legge and Stefan Wilson get into an accident in practice for the Indy 500 in turn one. Turns out Stefan Wilson had a fractured vertebrae in his lower back, so he will miss the Indianapolis 500, and Graham Rahal will fill the seat. So he did not qualify, but he will race during the Indianapolis 500. So far, it is the fastest Indianapolis 500 field in 27 years, as Alex Palou did take the pole, but the top six were completed by a tenth of a mile an hour for that pole speed. So if we're shaping up to be the fastest Indianapolis 500 in history, it's pretty hard to predict a winner because anyone in this field, except for the Ray Hall Leonard and Lanigan Racing cars, they're particularly slow this year. But I'm going to say that Alex Palou, I think he is primed and ready to possibly defend a IndyCar Series championship from a couple years ago. So to me, Alex Palou is going to be the Indianapolis 500 winner. But also, it's an emotional weekend as well as TK Tony Kanaan makes his final start in the Indianapolis 500. A lot of storylines. You'll catch the full preview. We'll go position by position, tell you what you need to look for. Every single buddy, every driver in the field will have a paragraph of what they've accomplished at Indy, the expectations for them, their season so far. So check that out for Racing Refresh. And Adam Driver, if Peggy's interested, he will wave the green flag for the Indianapolis 500. So I guess Kylo Ren turned to the light side after all, as he'll be in the presence of greatness this Sunday. The Indianapolis 500 is the best race of the weekend. Coke 600, I know that's dessert. That's a cherry on top.
Yeah.
But the meat, potatoes, the steak, the medium rare and New York strip, that's the Indianapolis 500. That's the Indianapolis 500. And then, you know, the Monaco GP, which we'll talk about now, is, I guess, your late protein shake for breakfast because it's Monaco.
I have one question for the Indy 500, and then I want to move on to Monaco.
Okay.
Take away your journalism for a minute, and I know that's hard for you because you're such a guru, truly. Yeah. That's not even being facetious or hyping you up to facts. What do you believe would be the best story? Who, you know, what's your root and interest? What do you want to see happen? Not what do you think is going to happen? What do you want to see happen? What's the best story in your view?
Well, there's a couple. I mean, if Graham Rahal has a good run, I don't think he's a good win. I think that car is Stefan Wilson doesn't have the speed in the pack to dice up through the field. If he makes it into the top 15, I think that's a good run for him. Helio Castroneves winning 5 would be obviously a great story. He'd be the undisputed Indianapolis 500 the best to ever do it if he won 5. No other driver has won 5, and if he does it, great for him and great for the state of Ohio as the Meyer-Shank boys take home another Indianapolis 500 trophy. But I think the emotional center of Indianapolis this weekend, when you watch driver intros, Tony Kanaan, if he wins his last Indy 500, it would sort of be in the pantheon of motorsports history, one of the greatest to ever step foot inside of an Indy car. He's a fan favorite through and through. If he does win the Indianapolis 500 this year, I certainly think there won't be a dry eye at Speedway Indiana. And just another stat to show how breathtaking the Indianapolis 500 is, the amount of people who attend it, one in every 100,000 people in America will be at the Indianapolis 500 this year. It's the biggest event in the world. No other sport compares to it. The Super Bowl, blah. I know it's NASCAR show, but the Daytona 500 doesn't compare. The World Cup doesn't compare. The World Series doesn't compare. Nothing compares to the pageantry, the eloquence, and the excitement of the Indianapolis 500, which you can catch Sunday at 2 o'clock on your local NBC affiliate. Dun, dun, dun. And then, you know, you have the Monaco Grand Prix, and it's going to be wet.
But at the top of the morning, it'd be Monaco. What's your thoughts on that? You know, I know that Monaco is in an odd era right now where people are kind of questioning the value of it in current F1 folklore. What's your take on Monaco this year? What's your take on the future of Monaco? Talk to me.
So Monaco is one of these events, like it's like taking away the Daytona 500 or taking away the Indy 500 from their respective series. If you took that away from Formula One, it would certainly, I think, damage its. Formula One is the elitist of all the motorsports. We know that, but this is where you really see that elitism. The yachts, the pageantry. It's kind of like the Kentucky Derby of motorsports. It's not about the event, the actual race itself. It's more about the events, going to Monaco and experiencing it. It's weird because Formula One's in this weird thing where Formula E put on a fantastic show at Monaco, had 124 overtakes in that race, where if it was a dry condition race, which we're not expecting this week at Monaco, you could expect maybe a handful at most. With it being wet conditions at Monaco expected this week, you may see more passing. You may see a more exciting race, which I think you will see that. But it's all with Monaco. It's weird. It's taken away from Sunday being the most important day to Saturday being the most important day because it's qualifying. And with passing being so hard at the Monaco Grand Prix circuit, pretty much you will live and die based on where you qualify. We expect the Red Bulls to be fast, but if anyone's been talking themselves up more going into this race, it's Fernando Alonso from Aston Martin. And they have some big news as they're going to be getting Honda power units in 2026 as Red Bull goes to Ford in 2026. But he's been talking up. If anyone can win this race, it's him. And you don't need the fastest car at Monaco. You don't need the fastest car on the grid to win at Monaco. You just need to be qualifying higher, and you can't make mistakes on pit road. So for me, I think Verstappen's going to win it, but I think the emotional centerpiece that I want is Fernando Alonso. I want to see more than just two winners a year, the Red Bull team just dominating itself. But if anyone's going to win it, Fernando, Lewis Hamilton, you know, he's really good at Monaco, and Mercedes doesn't have the fastest car in the grid right now. But if they qualified second and, you know, if something happened to Verstappen or Sergio Perez or Fernando Alonso, you know, Lewis Hamilton could take the lead and he can take his first win in what would be 2 years that we haven't seen him in on top of the podium. So, you know, but it's the pageantry, the eloquence. Hell, even Tony Stark competed in the Grand Prix of Monaco. If you ever saw the second Iron Man movie, you know how important it is. It's certainly the on the bottom tier of this entire weekend that we've talked about. Indy's certainly at the top. And then you have NASCAR and then F1. But don't take away from, you know, it may not be an exciting race, but still enjoy the race. Monaco comes around once a year. We don't know how long it will be on the schedule for. We don't know if there will be car changes in the future to make that race better. In a perfect world, just build a car for Monaco, just race it there, just race it your normal car everywhere else. You know, I think that would be pretty interesting, but it wouldn't be the essence of Formula One. So enjoy this weekend of motorsports. It's Memorial Day weekend as well, so God bless all the troops who have fought for us and died for us to make, you know, let us do what we do, talk about racing and you know, just kind of BS for an hour. So that's what's really important about kind of overshadowing everything racing is here in the States. If you know a loved one who has served or is serving, tell them thank you. And, you know, just be grateful for the sacrifices others have made. So happy Memorial Day, not only to you, Logan and Peggy, but all our watchers and listeners, whoever watches, happy Memorial Day to you as well.
Amen to that. And with every great episode means we have to bring that episode to an end. So it's time for a little bit of closing time here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Just a quick note to wrap up our motorsports coverage for the day. Trans Am Series comes back for the Trans Am Memorial Day Classic at Lime Rock Park in beautiful Lakeville, Connecticut. Always an interesting track. Keep your eye on Chris Dyson and that Jim Weed card. He cracked the top five for TA wins all time a few months ago. He's got something special cooking. Don't be surprised to see him atop the podium this weekend in the Trans Am Series, where Boris said will fire off the command. So, with that, it's time for our final words. I'm going to come to you, Miss Peggy Lohr. Producer Peggy, come on in.
Well, I'm sad to say I will miss all of the racing Sunday. Logan and I are going to a 4-day music festival. So during the Coke 600, I will be watching Dave Grohl. But I also might pull the race up on my phone and watch the Foo Fighters. I guess it'll depend on my cell phone reception. And so that's it.
Selfishly, I'm hoping for a little bit of rain on Sunday in Charlotte. And there's a chance. Have you seen that forecast, Colin?
Yeah, I've seen it. And If we get racing on a Monday, everyone's off anyway. So,
well, what's the matter with that?
Yeah, let's, yeah. If they put on a race just like last year on a Monday when everyone is off, and it turns out to be a snoozer, I'll be very disappointed. Be hugely disappointed. But I don't expect that.
But so I'm praying for a little bit of rain. But if not, I hope it's a wonderful weekend of racing where everybody stays safe. And yes, remember. What really is important this weekend, this Memorial Day weekend. But before I wrap it up, Colin Best, your final words.
Oh, so I got a dumbass of the week. I just want to know. This grinds my gears. Let's throw it back to when we were the weekly downshift. If you saw at Hickory Motor Speedway what happened over the weekend of Landon Huffman. Landon Huffman is the track champion of Hickory Motor Speedway. With three laps to go, he gets an Annabeth Crum. Just, you know, she moves him up the wall. They make contact. He's on the outside. She's on the inside. Three lap going into turn three. He gives her a little bump and run. It's just classic short track racing, right? She goes around on the front stretch. She tries to correct it. No harm, no foul. But on the caution laps, she decides to just full send right in the back of Landon Huffman's car, destroys his car, destroys her car. Days are both done. But Landon Huffman finishes the race and finishes P9. So, you know, that's good for him. But then her husband decides to attack her father, or hit Landon Huffman's dad in the spotter stand, punches him in the face, breaks his nose. He gets arrested. Hickory Motor Speedway has taken a lot of L's this year. None bigger than what happens here and what they choose to do. Are they going to ban Annabeth Crum? Are they going to ban the husband? Certainly it was uncalled for what they did. I've seen a lot of things in short track racing. I've seen people chase down people with jack handles trying to beat the crap out of each other. But I have never ever seen something as egregious over something just so small. I mean, it wasn't even an intentional wreck. But, you know, that's what we should have seen at the All-Star race, if you think about it. We should have seen racing like that for $1 million. These guys are racing for $40,000, and there's emotion like that. But for $1 million, it didn't happen. So NASCAR, if – people are talking more about what's happening the cars tour by Hickory and not your All-Star race. You got some problems you got to fix. So I know I'm over. I know I'm over. Happy Memorial Day to everybody. Hope you enjoy the holiday, the official, unofficial start to summer. Get some hot dogs. Get some burgers. Get a cold beverage. And then enjoy the racing, and we'll talk about it all next Wednesday as we break it down for you on Happy Hour.
Amen to that. And my final words, I second all of that, Mr. Best. And but I do want to take a quick note and just say rest in peace to Tina Turner, who passed away today. She was such an icon, a trailblazer in the music industry, and she will be missed. But here's the great thing about music, folks, and really NASCAR. In some ways, it all lives on forever. So with that, we hope you have a lovely weekend. Hope you enjoy some time with the family. I'll be with producer Peggy and my brother, so we're going to get the family vibe going, paying way too much for a hot dog. And looking forward to that. And, again, hope you're all staying safe and staying well. And we'll be right back here next Wednesday, 8:30 p.m., right here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. We out of here.